I desire your prayers for the word of the Lord this morning to be blessed, for the Lord to give what we need this morning. I want to start with several scriptures in John 1 and 1 and 14 and 1 John 1 and 2. I want to combine those verses together. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And this Word is capitalized, which represents that it is a proper noun. And so it represents Christ. He was the Word. And so we could change this and put his name there, and it wouldn't take away from the scripture. So in the beginning, Christ, there was Christ. Christ was before the foundation of the world. And the Word, or Christ, was with God. And Christ was God. So that's the beginning. And the Word, or Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness. I have been inspired with these scriptures this week, and I'm going to... I want to let my imagination run just a little bit. This was written by John, and he was one of the disciples. He was one of the 12. And these 12 men, they were not chosen from the elite of the world. They didn't have some kind of a high education that set them apart. They didn't have a lineage that would say, God's going to look in favor upon you on the earth, and you're going to be able to be a witness of Christ in the flesh, and that you are going to see him with your eyes, and you're going to touch him with your hands. Now, I can only imagine, and I try to put myself in their place, and I don't even know if they fully realized the impact or the how blessed, maybe you might say, they were, because they were chosen, they were called, and they were just common men. Some of them were only fishermen. Now, fishermen were not actually the lowest of the low, but they didn't really have a place in society that everybody looked up to. And then the scripture said one of them was just a tax collector. And we know what people felt about them. And yet Jesus called a tax collector. And Jesus even called one that was going to be a traitor. He still called them. And these 12 had a special place that we can only imagine. What it was like to hear his voice, hear his teachings, walk with him. They witnessed miraculous healings and events, and they, I would say they all slept maybe together. I mean, Jesus said, I don't have any place to really lay my head. I don't have a pillow. And yet they were with him for a very short period of time, just 3 years. They were chosen to do a special... I don't even think that in the beginning they realized just what this call, what this this thing of being chosen really meant. They became aware more as they walked and talked with him. But they were chosen to carry the gospel after he was gone. And he taught them, and he, and one day he said to, I guess it was just to Peter, I don't know if the other disciples were actually standing around, and he said, who do men say that I am? And they began to answer. They said, well, they think you're a prophet, and some thinks this, and some thinks that you're John the Baptist come back. And I don't know. People had ideas of who Christ was. They knew he was different. There were things said, there's no man that's ever spoke like this. So people were aware that Christ was somehow different. And then he said, well, who do you say? Who do you think I am? And that Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, only God was able to reveal that to you. Man did not reveal that to you. So they knew he was the Messiah, but even then they had expectations of him setting up a kingdom on earth. And they wanted a position. And that's common if you think that, well, this might be a king, or this is the king, and I'm going to work in his kingdom. And even one of the mothers came to him and asked that her two sons have special places to sit on both sides of him. And he said, that's not for me to give, but they will sit. They will have something very special to do. Oh, to know in the flesh that this is the Son of God, the living God, and came down from heaven and was not born of man, but born of the Holy Spirit. And how special can that be? Or could that have been? And you and I are not privileged to have lived in that time, and nor is it going to happen in this time. We're here in a service that we're sitting together, and we call it heavenly places, and we sing and we pray and we worship the Lord, and we believe that he is here, but we don't see him. So I'm thinking of some of the, and I called it, and it's in, it means something. What were some of the infallible truths that God allowed these disciples and others to know that Christ was God in the flesh? So I have some written down I'd like to give. You know, these were just common men. They weren't even priests from the temple. They didn't have any special place in the temple. And yet Jesus called them. And it says that one of the infallible truths proving that Christ was more than just a man was the empty tomb. Yes. He rose. He came back to life in 3 days, just like he said he would. And then the scriptures say he walked with his disciples 40 days. And they saw him, and they talked with him. And he not only walked and talked with them, but he ate with them. He still had his flesh those 40 days. And it also says that he met with them, and I'm going to emphasize this one specifically, because all of them that saw him told one another, Jesus is alive, and we saw him. But there was one that wasn't with them when they saw him. And Thomas, he sort of gets a bad name, but in reality, I'm glad that he doubted, because it gives us something to think about. But he said, I can't believe unless I see the scars in his hands, unless I put my hand in his side. And Jesus comes and he says, Thomas, feel of the scar in my hand and put your hand in my side. And his reaction was instant belief. And he said, oh, my Lord and my God. Yes. He no longer doubted. Let's be glad that Thomas doubted and showed his humanity, because we might also doubt sometimes. And so Jesus went on and said, which is for us. He said, because Thomas, you have seen, you have believed. And then he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that's you and me. Don't expect Jesus to walk in here and we see him with our eyes and we run up to him and place our hands on him and feel. Whether his scars are still there or not, we don't have to have the proof. Not now. He said, he told his disciples, he says, I've got to go away. And he said, but I'm going to send the Comforter. And the Comforter is going to be there in my place. And the Comforter will do for you that which I cannot stay here and do. Oh, what would this world be like had Christ been the kind of God that he stayed on the earth these 6,000 years? And everyone would be trying to get to him, and everyone might be trying to touch him and see what he looks like. And, you know, we have pictures that people in their imagination have painted or drawn of what they think Christ looks like. We don't know what Christ looks like because we would want to walk more by sight. We know that there's what we call the crucifixion, the cross with the crucified Christ. Let me tell you, he didn't stay on the cross. He paid the price on the cross. But he became alive and healthy, and he took on for those 40 days. He felt this humanity, this human flesh, and he taught them many things, and he left them a hope. And you and I are in the result of that hope. Oh, I like to imagine. Well, have you ever had such a strong desire to see the Lord? Anybody here ever felt that way? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to tell you, I have. For years, when I would be going through extremely hard places, and I'm in my chair in my bedroom, and I have another empty chair over there, I have cried out, "Oh God, I wish you could sit in that chair, and that I could see you, and I could talk to you, and you could answer all of my questions, and you could convict me." Do you desire conviction? I do. And God has convicted me, but I didn't see him, and I could not touch him, but I have desired it, and I still do. I think that desire is to be carried over so that we will have an extreme desire to see him face to face when our time comes. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. I still have a desire to see him and feel him and touch him, and I desire to hear his voice. Can we hear his voice? By faith. I think it's natural for maybe some of us to have these kind of feelings. But it's prepared for us. And when he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye can be and shall be also." And then he says in another place, "What I have prepared, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard." When he left here, he said, "Have faith in God." Faith is something, it is a gift, and God has to give it. He said in another place, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him." And that may be such a challenge to us. We may say, "Oh, how much faith do I have to please him?" Believe in him. Trust in him. That he came and he walked this earth and he had his ministry and he left his gospel for these 12 men to go forth and present it to the world. And he suffered the stripes on his back for the fulfillment of the scriptures. And he went to the cross and he felt alone there. I tell you, whenever you feel alone, and I have felt alone, have you?
Yes.
Think. Yes. He did too.
Yes.
And it was his heavenly Father whom he had been with before the foundation of the world, who was sent in human flesh to experience humanity. And then he had to go to the cross and die a human death that was far worse than you and I. We may look upon those who suffer before they die. Maybe they go through a lot of pain and suffering. And maybe in our humanity, I do. I say, Lord, you said that you would give us an expected end. And help me that I will endure to the end and be saved. And help me that if the pain gets unbearable, that I will not fail. He didn't fail. And yet he cried out and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So when we feel alone and we feel the aloneness, he did too. And he understands and he knows how to help us. When we cry out at those times that we can't feel his holy presence by faith. I have said this to you, and I hate to admit it, but this is my humanity. I've said to Sarah one day, I don't feel that God loves me. You ever felt that way? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you haven't been to that temptation. But because the word of God says it, I believe it. That's faith. And like you get up and you walk forward and you go forward, whether you feel that love or whether you feel his presence or whether you don't feel his presence or whether you hear his voice or you don't hear his voice. Because of the word, we believe it. And we stand on it. And we don't reject it. And we don't discount it. Well, I don't feel it, so it must not be. No. Even though you don't feel it, you say, I believe it. Yes. Still have faith. Yes. So, you know, I think it's very natural for us to have, I think it's natural, may not be natural for you, I don't know, to have a desire to see and hear the voice of the Lord. I have been privileged to hear the voice of the Lord almost audibly. It's happened to me. Has it happened every day or every year, or does it happen at this age? No. But he allowed it. Yes. At one point in my life, it was so real. I was praying and I was seeking the Lord to know why he didn't heal my arm. And the Lord spoke it like a man. And he said, I could not heal you. And it was so real. I turned around and sat on the floor. And it was like God was sitting right there. If we never have that kind of experience, we can still hear the voice of the Lord. It will be a still small voice. It's not going to be in the loud thunder or the lightning or the earthquake. But there's a still small voice that if my heart is in tune with him and his spirit, I will hear not an audible voice, but a voice that is spoken in my heart. Yes. And with confirmation and with witness. And I'm still going to say I think it's natural for us to want to see and hear the voice of the Lord and touch him physically. So I have some proofs of that. If you look into the 33rd chapter of Exodus, been a long time since I read this, and I'm not going to read them for the sake of time. It's getting away. But this is about Moses. And Moses had that desire. And the Lord and Moses communed together. Do you ever say that to the Lord? In your prayer, do you say, Lord, commune with me? That's how he has conversation with us. It's in the heart, in the mind, in the word, through prayer, through some of those things that we spoke of. Me talking to myself and saying, you know, encourage myself in the Lord because he is there. Well, they were communing together. Verse 13 says, 33rd chapter, verse 13, Moses said, if I have found grace in thy sight, shew me thy way that I may know it. Are you curious enough to know the way of the Lord in your life? Do you desire to be led of the Spirit and know his way, his will? That's part of our responsibility, is to ask. Don't expect it all to fall on you without asking. It says, ask and ye shall receive. It says, knock and it will be opened. Listen, we have a part in order to know the way of the Lord. And Moses, he said, I want to know the way, and I want to know you. Yes. That's what this says. So, verse 14, God answered, my presence shall go with thee. Oh, what a statement. What do you think Moses felt? Oh, you're going to be that close with me? You're going to go with me? And yet, in the 18th verse, Moses wanted some more than that. He wanted more than just the Lord saying, I'm going to go with you. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me your glory. Is that what we're looking for when we're desiring he sit in the chair over here and that I can see him and I can touch him and he can talk to me and he can answer all of my questions? Am I wanting his glory? There's a part of my humanity that is wanting to be satisfied, and we have to recognize that weakness in us, because he has said, you've got to walk by faith and not by sight. So Moses says, I want you to show me your glory. And in verse 19, I say this is the answer. God gave him an answer. He says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. How would you like to see all of the Lord's goodness pass before you? He can show it to us without us seeing it. Yes. Don't we see his goodness just about every day? Yes, answers to prayer, we come and somebody testifies to the goodness of the Lord. Are we seeing all of his goodness pass by us? We are. And then somebody starts singing, God is so good. And God answers prayer, and I love him so. And so we sing that song as our little theme song. But he says, I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you. Verse 20. But thou canst not see my face. as badly as Moses wanted to even see his face, he was not allowed. Verse 22, and while my glory passeth by, I will cover thee with my hand. Verse 23, and I will take away my hand that thou mayest see my back parts. He was privileged, wasn't he, to at least see God's back parts. We're not going to have that experience in reality. He was allowed that privilege. I want to go to Genesis, the 32nd chapter. It's from verse 24 through 31, but I'm going to paraphrase all of this for the sake of time. This is Jacob, probably one of my favorites. Jacob wrestled with a man, the scripture says, and he could not prevail. He physically wrestled with a man throughout the night. Did he know who he was wrestling with? He did not. But it came daylight, or was getting close, and this man, the scripture does not say it was an angel. It says it was a man. I've always thought it was an angel, but it's not in this portion of scriptures. And the man said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except you bless me." He had some kind of an understanding that this being that he's wrestling with had the ability to bless him. It was not your normal man. Some way Jacob had that understanding. He even asked him what his name was, and he didn't give it to him. But if you study a little bit of the commentaries, there is one commentary that says that they believed that the name Christ, it was Christ. Did you know you may have to wrestle with Christ sometimes? Yes. For a blessing, for help, for answers. I have no reason to believe otherwise that it wasn't Christ. I can't prove it by the scripture, but that is the thought. And so this being that had the ability to bless, he said, "What is your name?" Mm-hmm. He knew his name. Mm-hmm. He knew his past. He knew his record. He knew what his name meant. How he had acted down through his life, cheated his brother. He knew all of those things. But he wanted him to desire something different. Therefore, he didn't turn him loose when he said, "Turn me loose." He said, "No, I'll not turn you loose until you bless me." And so he gave him a new name that meant something so different from his past. I'm telling you, when you realize who you are and what you are and where you are, and you see maybe you're falling a little bit short, I'm telling you, wrestle with Christ for what you need and what you see you need. Lord, you see, I need to be changed. in this area of my life. I need to think differently. I need to believe differently. Lord, don't let me name it out. Be specific. Sister Karen Dixon has told me how Brother Austin, and if you've listened to any of his messages, you would know this. When you pray, be very specific. Name it out. Lord, I have a weakness here. I have a weakness in jealousy or strife or pride or envy. Name those things. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit. Why do we say be filled with the Holy Spirit? For this reason. The Holy Spirit is able to give you and me power over our former name and give us a new name. And so he had a new name. He said, you're not going to be called Jacob anymore. How would it be to be old with a new name? And people still calling you Jacob, but your name is Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You know what this word prevail means? This is from another translation, but I liked it. And it says, for in your fight you have overcome. Sometimes we have to fight. Brother Bob Wilson said in a message recently that I really haven't thought of in this way, and I'm sort of still on the line as to whether. But he said that there's not very many battles where God fought the battle. If you read all of them and compare them, but he says there's a lot of places that you have to fight. You want a blessing from the Lord? Wrestle. Hold on. Don't give in. Don't let it go until he gives you a blessing. So in your fight, you have overcome. Verse 30 of that same chapter. And Jacob called the name of this place. That became a place that he looked back on. When you find your place of wrestling for a blessing, you'll remember it.
That's right.
We may not name that place. We may go to the Lord and say, Lord, you remember when I was in this place and you blessed me? I don't have a name for it, but he did. He called it Peniel. And he said, for I have seen God face to face and my life was preserved because no man could see God face to face and live. But he did. And so he had a memory of where he wrestled. He held on. He did not give in. And he won.
Thank the Lord.
And he became a different man. You want to be different? Well, God has a way through the Holy Spirit to temper us and shape us and teach us. But we have to listen to the still small voice, because it's not going to be an audible voice. It's not going to be Jesus sitting in that chair next to me and I see him and can touch him and he answers all of my questions. It's going to be with me wrestling. For you and I must simply walk by faith. And that's one thing Jesus said, when I come back, will you have faith? It's said a little bit differently, but we can make it personal. Examine your faith. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to examine your heart and your faith. And so we all want to answer that question. Yes, you can find it in me, but I want to tell you there's a contest between here and him coming for you. You're not going to escape with beds of roses and soft roads, and you're going to have to wrestle. And I just want to remind us then of what Jesus said to Thomas. Thomas, you believe because you saw it, the print in my hand, and you felt it in my side. And you believed. Lord, my God, I believe. And then Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Lord, help us all. Even when we're having this desire, I wish I could see the Lord. See him by faith. Pray for me.